Welcome to Living Above the Drama. I'm your host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio, and today I'm delighted to have as my guest Jeff Bradley, who created Indoor Doctor to meet the ever-growing need for unbiased environmental assessments. Jeff's passion for helping people understand their indoor surroundings is evident as he integrates proven science, emerging technology, and a practical approach to solving problems. He's recognized as a leader in the indoor air quality community, and he regularly consults with top local and national organizations to promote awareness within the industry in an effort to improve individual health and wellness. Jeff's expertise and training include a Bachelor of Science in Environmental Engineering from U.S. Military at West Point, very impressive, and a Master's of Science in Environmental Engineering at Southern Methodist University. He is a Council-certified Indoor Environmental Consultant, a Council-certified Microbial Consultant, a certified Water Damage Technician, and a Certified Indoor Air Quality Technician. Jeff, I'm so delighted to have you here, but don't you think you should have a little bit more credentialing before you?
No, well, it's a real pleasure to join you. Thank you for inviting me to speak about this topic that I'm really passionate about and really delighted to be here.
Oh, well, I'm delighted to have you. I was teasing you about your credentials. You've done a lot of work in this field, but isn't it wonderful? And, you know, I got to know you because I will have you, do some work for me and my family. One of my sons is buying a home, and we have a beautiful little grandson. And I told him I'm going to make a gift to him of having you do an assessment on his house because we really need to protect the small ones, of course, and, of course, the grown people. So you are out there really doing such an important job. And in talking to you, one of the things that became very clear to me is that, and I know this because I've been in medicine for a really long time, people are not aware enough of the totality of their environment and the impact the environment has on their sense of health, wellness, well-being, just their sense of ease and comfort within their environment. And when you and I talked, it became very clear as we were discussing things, how urgent this is. So why don't you take us on a tour of residential and commercial environmental indoor health and wellness assessments, because you've got a lot of knowledge and a lot to share, and I'd love for you to jump right in and start sharing that with us.
Well, I'd love to. It's a great journey. It's a dynamic journey that we're really passionate about. And what we try to do is we're trying to be the best value for people who want to know if their homes or offices are healthy. And that sounds like a very basic, broad brush objective. But when you get down into the details, there are so many variables, and it's the intricacies that make up air quality are so fascinating. Air quality is a very broad subject, but when you start looking at the everything that is involved with air quality, it becomes really intricate. And what we've tried to do is combine technology, expertise, laboratory and science, and best practices to give people an easy, digestible end product with all the details as far as if their home or office is healthy. So typically what begins is someone approaches us with a concern, such as maybe in your situation where you want to make sure that your home is healthy for your grandson or a purchase and sale. And we try to learn a little bit more about this concern. Some people have a very defined concern. Maybe it's molds. Maybe it's based on a health symptom. Maybe it's just based on what the home inspector says or other factors. Some people aren't sure. Maybe some people think it's chemicals. So we're trying to target in on those key areas of concerns, but also provide opportunity to understand more about the indoor space.
Right. Well, what you were saying, which made so much sense, you said people come to you with their concerns and they say, oh, I've got this problem, I've got that problem, I think it's this, I think it's that. However, what you said, and I loved this, that you said we have to get to the cause of it. We have to find out. In other words, somebody might say, well, I think it's this, I think it's that. But when you do your assessment, it could turn out to be a whole other ballgame from what they were anticipating. And you did tell that one story that I will invite you to share with us again later about the house that you worked on and, you know, the headaches and everything else. And it turned out to be something quite different. So it's obvious that, you know, you have a whole strategy and you have a lot of technology. So tell us about the technologies that you're using. Do you have like a Geiger counter type thing? I mean, tell us about, you know, what's involved in going into a home or an office and actually doing the assessments. There are lots of things that the assessment includes. So can you tell us about those things that are involved and tell us what the technologies are that you're using?
Absolutely. And a complete rundown is found on our website, indoordoctor.com. When we show up, it's not uncommon that people say, wow, is this the Ghostbusters? So we're coming fully equipped with state-of-the-art technology, many various tools and gadgets and aids to assist us better understand the air and the environment that you live in. Some of these tools include a photo ionizer detector. Well, that's kind of a mouthful. And what this machine does is it instantly gives us readouts of total chemical levels in parts per billion, carbon dioxide, which is so critical in measuring fresh air exchange, low levels of carbon monoxide, which we can talk about a little bit more. It's one of the things that I'm passionate about, measuring toxic gases that could originate from the heating system or sewer gases like hydrogen sulfide, sulfur dioxide, nitric oxide, and ammonia. We're also instantly measuring formaldehyde, and formaldehyde's found in so many different things.
Well, you mentioned that, and I was like, whoa. So I'm sure you're going to explain more, about all the places it's found.
Exactly. We're using a tool called a laser particle scanner that instantly measures invisible particulate matter that can get deep into the lungs and cause acute reactions like sneezing and coughing or an asthma attack. We have infrared cameras to detect hidden changes in thermal gradients that might indicate hidden moisture pockets, and we follow that up with our digital moisture meter. We're using various combustible gas sensors and biopumps to collect air samples to send off to the laboratory for detailed analysis on mold and complex allergens and soot. We also have our indoor doctor germometer that gives us an instant score reading measuring the contamination index on surfaces, and that's a very popular item. We're well equipped and we're encouraging people to conduct radon testing every 2 years.
Germometer. Germometer. That's wonderful. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, we've got to talk a lot about all of these things. So why don't you, start at the top and tell us about these different entities that you're testing for and what they can do. Like, I'm sure a lot of us don't even know. You know, we're not even aware that we may be sneezing or coughing or having headaches or sinus pain because of these different aspects.
Absolutely. So the first thing that I look at when I go into a house or an office is I'm looking at the carbon dioxide. That's not carbon monoxide that most people are familiar with, but that's carbon dioxide. That's what we exhale. And what I'm looking for are readings less than 900 parts per million. And when I know that if the levels are higher than 900 parts per million, I know we're not getting enough fresh air exchanges and things build up. So a lot of people are under the impression that green is healthy. Green is not necessarily healthy. Green is energy savings. And in today's environment, we're trying to make these homes and businesses too tight. We're adding too much insulation and we're not getting enough fresh air. So things build up. Chemicals build up, molds build up, ultrafine particulates build up, everything builds up. And that's a huge issue. So that's the very first thing that I'm looking at.
Okay. Well, that's kind of interesting because what you're saying is, everybody thinks green is great. And I was talking the other day to someone and I said, nature is not benign. You know, we think if it's natural, it's perfect. And, you know, we should be doing that. And green is natural. And, you know, that there shouldn't be any issues with it. But this is important for people to understand that there has to be balance in everything.
Exactly. Yes. And a lot of new products that may feature that they're green or safe may not be as safe as you might think, especially if they're applied incorrectly. One example would be the application of spray foam insulation. That can be applied incorrectly through an untrained technician or an improper batch of the solution, and that could yield dangerous levels of chemicals and formaldehyde and isocyanates, in addition to making the home or structure too tight.
Well, yeah, so you've got a lot to check. What else? There's a long list I know that you have.
Exactly. So the next piece that I'm looking at is the amount of ultrafine particulate matter, PM. And that's becoming a little bit, we're seeing a greater sense of awareness, PM 2.5, PM 10. You know, in China, they measure particulate matter just like we measure the temperature, because it's so critical based on the amount of air pollution that they have outside in their urban environments and how it impacts their indoor space. And we're getting there with that greater awareness. And what people may not realize is that there can be a tremendous buildup of these ultrafine particulates that you can't see that have a direct impact on your health. And these are the particulates that go deep into the lungs, enter the bloodstream, cause acute reactions like sneezing and coughing and wheezing. So we have a tool called a laser particle scanner that measures this instantly.
Well, and I know that's one of the things that some of us become aware of when we're talking about traffic pollution.
Exactly.
You know, cars and trucks and trains and planes. A lot of times, I lived near Boston College, which is here in the Massachusetts area, and they used to run these buses, and they were diesel buses, and they would be puffing this black, you know, smoke all over the neighborhood, and our windows would be like, oh my Lord, they were just sooty, and people became very aware of the particulates. And what happened was, after, you know, 10 years and a lot of battles and a lot of testing, they actually had to change their fleet of vehicles so that, you know, we were not getting inundated with all of these particulates. So this is a really important thing. Can you talk to people about, like, overall particulates? Because we don't see them, and yet aren't they everywhere?
They are everywhere, and the smaller the particulate, the more dangerous it is. That's why we have a focus on the invisible. In a quick segue to your bus story, we were up at a ski resort not too long ago because we got there was a complaint down in the rental shop that the employees weren't feeling too well, that they had headaches and so forth. And what we found was that buses, typically on tour buses or school buses, would be idling right outside of this rental shop area, and the carbon monoxide and the soot was building up inside the unit, and that was causing a huge issue. So hopefully now that they have banned that practice and put signs up of no idling right outside the building.
Well, yeah, that is done, I think, now more so than ever. Like, you'll see a no idling signs where buses are waiting outside of football games or schools or events like that, because I guess these buses are just spewing all kinds of stuff into the environment.
Exactly, and that can get inside the structure and then into your lungs if you're sitting in an office space where a truck or a contractor is just idling for hours on end outside your building or outside your home.
Now, one of the things that you mentioned that I think is really frightening, and most of us are completely unaware of this, and I think as of late, of course, it's gotten more attention, but this business of radon. Now, you talked about it. You called it something. It was, you know, I think it's some kind of, I know it's a carcinogen, but there's a name of what it is. It's a gas, and a kind of gas, and it's the second largest cause of lung cancer, and we need to know more about it.
We do, and I wish it smelled. I wish radon smelled, because I think it would get more attention, and because it's colorless and odorless, it goes unnoticed, and people hear no evil, see no evil, so that they're not aware that they could be living in a home that has very high radon levels. And radon is radioactive material. It's a
radioactive
gas.
That's what you said, radioactive. Okay.
Exactly. It's naturally occurring in the Earth's environment and comes up through the foundations, through cracks. And it's actually the highest right now. In January and February in New England, it's at the highest levels, typically because the ground's frozen outside of the house, and it comes up through the foundation at a greater rate. And what we're seeing is that people are expanding their basements, really forcing to make basements living areas to add property value and more space. So people are spending more time in areas that have very high radon. And when I ask people, hey, have you had your radon tested? They'll say, oh, yeah, we did when we bought the house. So I'm like, how long ago was that? And they're like, oh, 15, 20 years ago. I'm like, oh, because the Surgeon General and EPA are very clear that you really should have radon tested every 2 years. And typically, if you even did a radon test, keep in mind, you didn't even own the home when you bought the house. Somebody else did. And there could have been windows open, or there could have been some other reading that may have illegitimized the testing. So we encourage people, do a radon test now. You can coordinate directly to the laboratory and get a real estate approved radon test kit. And it's very short money. It's easy to correct if you have an issue. And I personally think that every home and basement should have a radon mitigation system in most instances.
Right. And maybe even from what you had said during our pre-interview, other parts of the house.
Sure, it can rise.
Right. That and things can get trapped and like closed, like if there's a small little attic area or crawl space, you were saying, that can become a real toxic situation with radon.
Exactly. I know in my home is that we have our master bedroom on the first floor, and below us is a crawl space. The basement has normal radon levels, but the crawl space has very high radon levels. And even though the crawl space is a much smaller area, we had to put a radon mitigation system in there because we do not want to be breathing in radioactive gas for the duration that we're in the master bedroom sleeping.
Absolutely. Now, let me ask you, if you could explain the physiology of this, why would that crawl space, if obviously the basement is more, it's more, you know, there's more ventilation, is it the lack of ventilation in the crawl space that bottles it up and concentrates it?
Exactly. That's exactly one of the key parameters. Plus, this crawl space was a recent dugout. Compared to the basement, so that has some influence on it. But yes, the amount of ventilation can directly impact the radon levels.
But isn't that why in the wintertime the radon levels are actually higher? Because we've closed the windows, we've insulated the door frames, we've tightened up everything.
Absolutely, that's a key piece of it, and also the ground outside is frozen, so radon comes up through the unfrozen areas in somebody's foundation at a greater rate.
So a drafty house might actually be a healthy thing.
Absolutely.
Maybe not good for heating bills, but a healthy thing.
A drafty home is a healthy home, and we like to say sometimes the solution to pollution is dilution.
What does that mean?
That means we're trying to dilute the air with fresh air. And that can be as simple as opening up the windows, or if you have one of these more modern homes where it's very tight without fresh air exchanges, you may want to contact your heating, ventilation, and air conditioning company or HVAC company and inquire about the suitability and feasibility of adding an energy recovery ventilation system, an ERV, or a heat recovery ventilation, HRV. And these are mechanical systems that go onto the HVAC system and bring fresh air in from the outside and take air from your home out with an energy savings mechanism. So it's like, I like to conceptually tell people, it's like leaving the windows open without all the heat loss. And that's
right.
A good thing.
That's wonderful, Jeff. This is just it's so fascinating. I'm just enthralled with this topic. We have to take a commercial break. Hard to believe. Boy, that time just flew by. Okay.
And we're just at the tip of the iceberg.
I know. Don't go away, listeners. We are going to come back with Jeff Bradley after our first break so he can tell us more. Now, I hope you're taking notes, and I hope you heard his website is indoordoctor.com. This is really critical for yourself and your family. So if you want more information, absolutely go to Jeff's website. We will be right back.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals. To develop mindful, pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills by Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Dr. Gass is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
And today I'm talking to Jeff Bradley, who is a United States military at West Point graduate in environmental engineering and has a master's of science in environmental engineering. He also has a lot of council certified credentials in environmental matters, and he started Indoor Doctor, which is an unbiased environmental assessment company. Just before the break, we were just talking about the tip of the iceberg. We were talking about radon. There's so many other things. Do you want to jump right in and start talking about those things?
Absolutely. So another factor that we can take a look at a closer, basically with analysis, would be mold. There's a lot of attention today about mold inside of a house. And mold is caused by a wide range of factors, to include excess humidity, moisture intrusions, maybe carpeting in a basement, which we strongly disagree because moisture does wick up through a basement and evaporates. That's why you need a dehumidifier. And we do recommend that you run a dehumidifier year-round, preferably with one of those fancy controls that are standard on most units to set the humidity to 45% or lower. And that's a key thing in controlling mold. And obviously, if you have water damage, to pay attention to it and take action correctly. There's no such thing anymore that we say is trying to dry out gypsum-based sheetrock. This is just a paperback book. And if it gets wet, it can grow harmful molds like Stachybotrys. Don't Google that. That's a black mold that's very dangerous to your health. So through sampling, we're able to collect the air or on surfaces and send it to an independent certified laboratory for detailed analysis to see if there's an elevation of a particular mold by type and compare it to the outside environment and what's normal.
Well, now, okay, as a homeowner, and I'm sure the listeners are thinking, okay, mold, frightening, you know, I've got children, I've got pets, whatever. What can you do about it? I'm assuming, I know you don't do the mitigation, but I'm assuming that there are approaches and techniques and treatments that can get rid of this and maybe have follow-up treatments, but you do have to find out what caused it, correct?
Exactly, and that's a key piece of our business is through the investigation. Are conditions favorable for mold? Are walls wet? Has there been a prior history of water damage? Are there areas that are vulnerable? What are the types of mold detected through the sampling? And knowing this information, we try to guide our clients in a proper remediation plan that's unbiased so that they can choose a remediation contractor and feel confident about the action plan, and then afterwards retest to make sure that things have been corrected if there were deficiencies.
So how do you find the receptivity to this information? Are most of us like really concerned and conscientious about it, or do a lot of us just go, oh, come on? I'm just really curious because I know sometimes you go on the internet and you read things and they say, oh, you can do this yourself and what have you, but you really can't actually. it can be far more complicated than that.
It is. I've personally conducted over 13,000 inspections, and in the course of that, there's a nuance that you gain an appreciation of these different scenarios, and that helps our clients making sure that their home is as healthy as possible. But with molds in particular, we live in a moldy environment. There are molds outside in the natural environment, but what we want to make sure of is, again, that conditions aren't supporting molds, and that there's not an abundance of mold indoors that can lead to health issues. And some people, such as children or the elderly, someone with a compromised immune system, or people that have a mycotoxin illness, this is a big deal. People's lives are changed when they have a mold illness and their body's unable to rid these types of mycotoxin. And if you have a pre-existing illness, such as cancer or an immunocompromised situation or asthma or some sort of chronic respiratory issue or a tick-borne illness, this becomes much more important to understand your mold spore strengths in a house.
I'm sure. Jeff, can you tell us like maybe your worst mold story? You must have some beauties, but like, you know, something that they had a really good ending to it where, you know, people were suffering and you mitigated it and it became much better.
Well, I think for us, in every situation is unique, and it has, you know, for some people, something that's relatively minor might be a big issue for them, and we take that just as serious as if there's this hidden mold issue that can be resolved. So it's really enlightening when we're taking a sample in a room that shows no evidence of possible mold exposure. And then we're seeing this abundance of this big spore cloud of black mold, maybe in a bathroom, for instance. And it looks like a perfectly nice bathroom, but the data leads us to believe that there's hidden mold. And our clients have been not feeling well, and they've had symptoms that could be attributed to the mold. And we start opening up, or the remediation contractors start opening up the wall cavities in the bathroom, and lo and behold, there's a small leak of a pipe. And that's contributing to this huge mold issue where it's impacting the master bedroom and bathroom. And by correcting that, the home air quality is returned to a normal state, and we do see some symptom improvement because we do follow up with our clients on a regular basis through years, because we stick with people for many, many years
if they're
interested in maintaining a healthy environment.
I'm sure. Do you have particular instruments then? So that, I mean, you're in a house, you're not going to start tearing all the walls out. Do you have instruments that say maybe you should make a hole in the wall? I mean, how can you tell when you say you go into a bathroom and it looks perfectly fine? How can you tell that there might be mold in those walls?
Sure. So a nice tool is an infrared camera. And an infrared camera, some people may see it maybe on those detective series or on TV where you're looking for maybe a heat source. Maybe somebody's hiding in the bushes and you see the heat signature, or maybe they're watching HGTV and they see someone with an infrared camera. An infrared camera will detect changes in the thermal gradients. And water, in a lot of instances, has a different temperature reading, generally cooler. So a wall may look normal, but the infrared camera will pick up a hidden leak source, and then we verify that with a digital moisture meter, and if it's elevated, then conditions are favorable for mold. And then when we see high mold levels in the air, we know that there's an issue there. So that would be a good starting point to remove that section of the wall cavity.
It's pretty specific on how you can scientifically identify these entities and remedialize them. Well, I'm sure people are thinking, what would it cost? You call you in. You've got a bathroom, you're getting headaches, and there's, you know, black mold in the walls because of a water leak from the shower. What does it cost to do something like that? I'm talking about a normal kind of moderate-sized bathroom.
Not a problem. What I first ask people, too, is what does it cost to ignore it? What's the cost of lack of productivity, and what's the cost of illness? And that's staggering when you start to add up those figures. But a typical bathroom or defined area, you can expect to pay with a certified inspector such as ourselves or someone else who's fully qualified, anywhere from, call it $500 up to $900. That's pretty typical.
No, I'm talking about the remediation. I mean, like,
oh,
is that...
Gotcha.
For
the remediation...
out the walls and things, yeah.
Yeah, so that can be specific based on the design of the house. I mean, some people have, you know, different tastes in their bathroom and different types of fixtures. So it's important to get an estimate from the remediation contractor. In what many people are unaware of, I would say that 75% of our clients are unaware that they have a mold clause in their insurance policy, and it generally covers things like a leak or hidden mold, and it covers the testing and remediation, and most policies do cover up to $10,000 worth of coverage. Some policies have more coverage.
Wow, I bet you most of us didn't know that. So in the homeowner's policy...
Exactly, towards the very back, and it's labeled the Limited Fungi Mold Rot Decay Rider.
Wow. That's quite a description.
I'm a fungi.
So when you're talking to people, I'm sure you're directing them to take a look and see what their coverage is on that.
Exactly. That may give them more options.
Sure, I would think so. Well, yeah, I know mold is a mildew mold. All of that is a big, big topic. Then there's the allergens and the dust mites, but you brought up the soot problem and the formaldehyde, which I'd love for you to talk to.
Exactly. So with soot, a lot of times people may neglect to service their furnace, or maybe that they have an improperly vented chimney, and maybe they're burning excess candles, or there's an appliance that's not working properly. So we can measure the soot levels by type to see if it's from a furnace, to see if it's from an ash or a fireplace or a candle. And these soot particles are very dangerous to health, and it's easily correctable with proper maintenance and cleaning. So that's something if you're thinking about, oh, I'll just wait another year instead of having the furnace service because it's a, you know, and it's an expense. We say that have it serviced, get it cleaned. It's for your health.
Right. And I'm sure the same thing is true with fireplaces.
Exactly.
There's a lot of soot. Now, doesn't the fireplace have to lead into a vent or something so that the soot is being directed out? I mean, I know there's something with fireplaces and vents and things. Can you talk to that?
Absolutely. So fireplaces should have proper liners. And a lot of times people only have chimney inspections when they purchase the house. But we recommend that you have a proper chimney evaluation at least annually to make sure those liners are still intact and that it has a proper draw. So that's something that we highly recommend.
Right. As you're talking, I mean, I've been a homeowner, my God, for, whoa, 40 years, a long, long time. And I'm thinking, wow, these were not things that I was educated about. These were not things, I mean, you might have heard something here or a little something there from a chimney sweep or something, or, but you don't, I mean, are you ever going to write a book? Homeowner's manual? No, because I don't know of any body of information that would be really helpful for a new homeowner.
Well, we do have many blogs, and we do have a guide for new homeowners, and we'd be glad to share that with your listener base. They can contact me directly, and we'll get them set up with that that information. And certainly, before you buy a house, we recommend consider twinning your home inspection with an environmental assessment. For instance, if we come in and do some air sampling or surface testing or through our diagnostics and detect a lot of water damage indicators, that may give you pause if you see a lot of black mold in the air, or if there's an elevated level of chemicals or formaldehyde.
Right. Now, which should be done first, your evaluation or the inspection? Are they done concurrently? What's the best way to approach that?
Sure. A lot of times they are conducted concurrently, and we like working with home inspectors that have a good eye for different defects that might have some environmental impacts. And for a lot of our client base, though, the environment, the indoor air quality is chief and paramount in their first screening criteria, so that they would hire us first. If you have a toxicity issue or a mold type sensitivity, that's a significant screening activity, to rule in or out before a major purchase.
Right. And do you find, Jeff, with the projects you've worked on, have you ever found, people that loved the house, it was perfect, it was wonderful, you go in and it's like, oh my God, this is like the Amityville Horror of environment,
Yes, I mean, we find that a lot with, many 7 and even 8-figure homes, particularly in the Boston area, where, it's unhealthy and there's no way around it. And it's very challenging to remedy. So that can be heartbreaking for somebody that has their eyes set on a particular property.
Right. I'm sure that that is so. And talk about, different parts of the country where some of, like you said, New England, we're here in New England. And what is it about different parts of the country? Like, is New England one of the more, elevated levels of radon and other factors? And where in the country might there be, for our listeners, might there be concerns about different things?
Sure. We get calls all over the country every single day, and actually all over the world, actually, of people interested in finding more information about how to make their homes healthy. And for instance, in New England, there's a challenge because of the four-season environment. We have ice dams, and then we have floods, and then we have different sorts of condensation impacts that happen with heat transfer. And radon is significantly higher in this part of the country because of the ledge and the granite in New England and Massachusetts versus other areas. But then if we go out west, maybe in California, obviously with the wildfires, that's a huge issue right now, as it is with Australia with the excess soot and smoke from fire damage. They also have different types of heat waves and the dryness associated with that, and along with building materials inside homes and how homes are designed.
Yeah, I always wondered about that. Have you ever done assessments in California or places where they've had these wildfires? And what is the downstream effect of this kind of, catastrophic fire?
Well, fires contain a lot of different pollutants, and soot is very harmful. And in fact, there are new studies that suggest, when you have a house fire today, because of this spray foam, because of the chemicals in nature, that fires inside of a house, even a minor kitchen fire, can have a significant impact of residual carcinogenic material on surfaces. So it's a different ballgame, and it's a real game changer for our first responders and firefighters going into these homes ablaze that are now super toxic. And it's just a real challenge as far as mitigating that risk in the aftermath.
Wow. So are the firefighter and the people who are working environmentally, such as firefighters, is there equipment addressing that? Because I know some of the equipment and some of the materials, just recently there was a big thing about airline people who work with airline uniforms on, that some of the chemicals in the clothing is causing all kinds of difficulty for people who work with the airlines.
Right, exactly. So in clothing, you have different types of fire retardants and chemicals. And in fact, if your listeners out there have any of the iron-free shirts or wrinkle-free shirts, keep in mind that these materials may contain more formaldehyde than other pieces of clothing. And some people have a really allergic effect, even with formaldehyde. While it's considered a carcinogen, people have this allergy-like effect with formaldehyde. So,
you were talking about all the different things it's in. Do you want to run down that list? It's very difficult because while some things have gotten better for us over the last 50 years, environmental toxicity, environmental pollution, I don't have to tell you, has really been on the uptick and rather significant. I mean, you've got spray and insulation, everything is just, there's so many chemicals. There's so much in our environment. I guess that's why some people want to go off the grid and live in the woods, yeah?
There's certainly a case for that. One of the challenges that we see is within a nursery, within where you have baby furniture that are imported from other countries with lesser standards. We see a high chemical incidence of these kind of put together, these baby cribs and the changing tables and the furniture and the chairs. And often the nursery is the smallest room in a house, so you have less volume of air for proper dilution, and plus the doors close a lot. So these chemicals and formaldehyde builds up and becomes a really a hazardous situation for a new human being where their lungs and the respiratory system are still developing and much more sensitive to this type of chemical.
Wow. I'm wondering how much of this, there's so much attention on childhood learning disorders and autism, spectrum diseases. And you have to kind of ask yourself after a while, how much is this contributing to all of this? Because we've seen the numbers go from 1 in 20,000 to 1 in 50 children. I mean, so you have to kind of wonder what is contributing to that and causing that.
We were talking the other day where we were, I listened to some of the old time radio, and you said that you recalled as well that way back when you had physicians featuring on commercials the healthy cigarette, endorsing a certain cigarette that's healthier.
I think
that when we look back on all these digital photos that we see of children with the cell phones to their heads, we're going to say, what were we thinking with the radio frequencies bombarding developing cranium? And it's no wonder that you see an increase in childhood leukemia and different sorts of cancers and so forth. So that's a real big issue and an awareness that I think that we're still way behind the curve on that end.
Right. I told you that my colleagues at Dana-Farber, they said, look, we kind of talk low about this stuff, but the incidence of elevated carcinomas anywhere near the ear, the auricular area, the neck area, under the glands, under the inside of the mouth. I mean, it only makes sense. I mean, how could we not see that radiating parts of your body all day long or over and over again is going to lead to a problem? So
it's a real issue. It really is. And some of our clients.
It brings up the whole idea of towers. We talked about that, Jeff. The cell towers. And as a matter of fact, you have a wonderful story. Would you share? It's not wonderful, but would you share your story about that towers?
It was, in fact, it was just recently we have a call with a young lady who's said, look, her fiance and her roommate, they're experiencing this dizziness and the headaches when they're inside the house and they leave. And these symptoms go away, and she wants an air quality evaluation, and we're happy to oblige, and we do the full battery of tests, and there really isn't anything that really sticks out. There's a couple things for improvement. The air ducts need to be cleaned, and the basement has some mold in it, and they need a little bit more fresh air, but I'm like, there's something else. I knew that there was something else, and I should have saw it when I pulled up to the driveway, but when I left after the inspection, I saw the big giant tower staring at me. And I'm like, wait a second, that must be a contributor. So I pulled out our electromagnetic frequency sensor, and sure enough, the radio frequencies were beeping and chirping outside of their home and certainly also inside. So that was brought to their attention. And that's very hard to control, radio frequencies from a cell phone or a big cell tower that you're close, that you're living close to. So
and
some people will react negatively. Yeah.
It was going into the house.
Yes.
It was penetrating the house.
Absolutely.
Now, are there things that you can do to your house? I heard there are certain kinds of paints, or, like for the smart meters. There are certain kinds of paints and things you can put on the walls of your house. Does that help at all to mitigate the, you know, that kind of, you know, energy?
We're still monitoring the effectiveness of these various shields. We have seen some people that are really diligent about reducing the current, the magnetic frequency through grounding. We've seen some improvement, but these radio frequencies appear to be trickier. And so when you hear about EMF, it's a different science, and it's its own industry, and it's sometimes harder to understand because we're not used to the units of measure. We're not used to microwatts and hertz and ohms and frequencies and bandwidths and different things like that. So the awareness is not there for most people, including myself even. And it gets tricky understanding, okay, we know not to stand in front of a microwave, but what about these cell phones, and what about where my wireless meter is, and what about where the smart meter is, and that cell phone tower down the street? And it's a lot. And for a lot of our clients, it's too much, and they are symptomatic. And maybe that they're symptomatic and other people in the family are not. And that's where it also becomes an issue of confusion. Why am I reacting and you're not? So,
right. But you can identify that with your technology. Correct?
Absolutely. Yes, we can.
Wonderful. I just want to point out, because I can't believe it. I mean, we're supposed to take a second break, and I will, which will give us 5-6 minutes. I can't believe this is so fascinating. I could blow right through the commercials. I just want to point out that all of this that Jeff is talking about is only, and I say this, and I'm a working person too, it's only $895. That, to me, is, wow, that is such a bargain to know what you're dealing with in your home. We're going to take a break. We're going to come right back with Jeff. More information. Isn't this marvelous? I love it. We'll be right back.
Dr. Gans is on the advisory board of HealthCorp, a new program which was begun by Dr. Mehmet Oz.
65% are overweight and 35% are obese, and the sharpest rise in this country is between the age group of 4 to 8 years old.
Throughout his career, he has been inspired by patients who have experienced dramatic recoveries through lifestyle changes.
The National Institute of Whole Health is a perfect example of how people will learn to really take control of their lives in a healthy way. What they've done is they've collected basically the who's who of integrative health, and they've brought them together to give a series of lectures where they can then communicate with health professionals to basically deliver the message that we have to look at medicine from a different perspective.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health and their accredited professional continuing educational programs, go to www.wholepersonhealthcare.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL.
If someone said you could transform your life and enhance your relationships by using a few simple communication techniques that can be applied in almost any setting, would you want to learn these skills? If the answer is yes, you've picked up the right book. This easy-to-read guide is loaded with simple skills that have been scientifically shown to have a huge impact on our relationships. By using the steps in this book, you will be able to enhance not only your life, but the lives of everyone around you. If
you have the intention to practice and apply these skills, it will become a natural part of who you are. A true must-read for anyone who wants to transform their professional and personal lives. Changing behavior. Immediately transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. By Georgiana Donadio.
You can purchase Changing Behavior by Dr. Georgiana Donadio by visiting Amazon.com, where it is available in both Kindle ebook and paperback.
Are you tired of not feeling heard and not feeling valued? Are you longing to receive the love and respect you want? There is a solution right now. Transform your relationships with easy-to-learn, proven communication skills. Dr. Georgiana Donadio, relationship communication expert and number one national best-selling, award-winning author of Changing Behavior, explores the unconscious patterns contributing to stress, lack of fulfillment, and our relationship interactions. By learning and applying the simple principles of behavioral engagement, which has been clinically tested in leading hospitals, to develop mindful pure presence, you can experience the happiness and fulfillment you deserve in your relationships. Begin changing your behavior today with Living Above the Drama radio show host, Dr. Georgiana Donadio. Call 888-354-4325. 888-354-HEAL. Call now.
Become credentialed for the emerging medical health and wellness field. Work within healthcare environments or start your own private practice and bill for your services with your own NPI number. Train for this exciting specialty in patient-focused health and wellness education with the National Institute of Whole Health, NIWH, the only nationally accredited training program for patient health education and advocacy. Open to credentialed health and education professionals, our training qualifies for health educator liability insurance, a national provider identification number, and our expert-prepared billing and coding manual.
For more information about the National Institute of Whole Health, visit www.niwh.org or call 1-888-354-HEAL, 888-354-4325.
And today I'm talking with Jeff Bradley, who is the creator of Indoor Doctor. He has a passion for helping people understand their indoor surroundings. And he puts together science, technology, and a practical approach to solving these problems. Jeff has been sharing with us his experience and his knowledge, which is just, I could hear him talk about this forever. There's so much. What we didn't touch on, we talked about a lot of things. We didn't talk about fiberglass or jagged glass. We didn't talk about the carpet. We didn't talk about the spray foam. So can you touch upon those before we're out of time? And then, of course, we want to repeat how people can find you.
Absolutely. I'd be glad to. So carpets are exposed filters. There is no such thing as a clean carpet. Everything, all the impurities in the environment will get trapped in the carpeting and will get stirred up again. We do recommend regular HEPA filter vacuuming if you have carpeting, but the best way is to avoid carpeting, especially in a basement that's damp. So that's rule number one. Generally with our inspections is we're going to discourage carpet use.
What about rugs? Is that different?
It can be, but if you have a large rug that takes up most of your living room floor, that's mainly carpeted space. And we do recommend that these area rugs get professionally cleaned at least once a year.
Mm. Okay. So rugs are not a good idea. They may keep you warm and, you know, they may look good, but they're not necessarily a good idea.
Not for your health.
Okay.
We've seen instances where toddlers, especially, that are crawling on the ground most of the day that are symptomatic, parents remove the area rugs and the carpeting and notice a big difference in health. And speaking of toddlers, fiberglass that you mentioned is a huge irritant for a lot of toddlers. And you're like, well, where's this fiberglass coming from? Well, it can come through recessed lights in your attic. It can come from broken or damaged air duct liners, and that becomes airborne, and then you're inhaling it, and also it gets trapped inside the carpeting and then stirred up again. And then what we see all too often, especially right now in the wintertime, is people go down into the basement where they have a treadmill or an elliptical machine or an exercise bench, and lo and behold, right above them is exposed fiberglass insulation. And with the vibrations up top from family members to the vibrations of the exercising and cross currents, people are breathing in an enormous amount of jagged glass into their lungs, and it's very harmful. And under a high-definition microscope, it's very difficult to distinguish between an asbestos fiber and a fiberglass fiber, and they both have damaging effects on the lung.
Wow. I mean, I don't know about the listeners, but I'm getting scared, really scared. Do some people feel like they're living in, living in this like really unhealthy box of a house, and they don't know where the next assault is coming from? Can it get to be a little overwhelming?
Well, it can be. And our objective is never to induce scare. What we try to do is plainly and purely give people tangible information to make their homes healthier, no matter where they are at, as far as their discernment level goes, or where their health index is in their house, as we call it. We can make it better through proper analysis. And there's a lot of low-hanging fruit, if you will, that people can do that have immediate improvements to the overall health of their home and corresponds to health of them personally and their families.
Okay, so, but do you find people get overwhelmed when they start to get educated about this?
It can be overwhelming. That's why we like to make tangible checklists in priority of things that you can tackle first. What is the most important thing that you can do, you know, after our inspections, and we'll outline it so they can tackle those priority actions first. And some people, though, because of their environment, may have a symptom called brain fog. And this becomes a double challenge. Somebody with maybe a tick-borne illness or a chemical sensitivity or a mold illness, they'll complain of this relatable illness called brain fog, and that makes it very challenging to enact the recommendations. And we do encourage that they seek assistance through close family members, personal organizers, or their healthcare professionals to assist them to make their homes better and healthier.
Right. What would you say the most frequent problematic home environmental entity is? Is there one thing that kind of sticks out above others?
Yeah, we see that in a lot of instances that there's a lot of ultrafine particulates in the air, whether it be ultrafine dust or soot or these other impurities. This is generally caused by improper maintenance and cleaning of the air ducts or within carpeting or just with a traditional active lifestyle with a bunch of pets and dogs and cats and kids running around in a very tight house without proper airflow. That's what we see a lot. And that can be improved through mechanical ventilation, reducing carpeting. Air purifiers are a great tool, plug-and-play tool, to help reduce impurities. Proper air duct cleaning with the right vendor. So there are some easy, tangible steps to improve the air quality on that front.
Right. And speaking of which, HEPA filters, you said there's the good, the bad, and the ugly. Can you give us a quick, real short tutorial? We've got about 30 seconds. Can you tell us the best brands? Yeah.
No problem. High efficiency particulate air. You want medical grade. You want high quality HEPA filters, and you want a lot of carbon for the reduction of chemicals and formaldehyde as well. And a lot of these units are kind of an all-in-one unit. So I would look for a reputable brand made in a reputable country and really understand the components of it. And sometimes you do get what you pay for. So I would really take a look at it as a health investment if you're going the route of an air purifier.
Okay. Well, Jeff, I cannot thank you enough. This has been just amazing, illuminating, and I'm sure for people listening, they're going to want, you know, to get this checked out. Now, you can be reached at indoordoctor.com, correct?
That's correct. Yes, that's a good website.
Give us your phone number. Yeah, give us your phone number.
Sure. In Massachusetts or surrounding Rhode Island, 781-665-3626.
And do you have a national, because this radio show actually goes all over the world, but do you have something in the United States? Do you have an 800 number in the U.S.?
Yeah, we sure do. So if you'd like to reach us on our 800 line, you can do so. You can call 1-800-466-1522, and we receive inquiries from Poland and Australia and all over the country, all over the world. So we look forward to hearing from you if you have questions on that front. And then for our Granite Staters, 603-247-9162 is our New Hampshire line.
Wonderful. Jim, I can't thank you enough. It has been absolutely so illuminating and a little frightening, but a wonderful, wonderful conversation. Thank you so much. And listeners, don't forget to tune in again next week for another really informational, educational, and inspiring interview here on Living Above the Drama.